Hi everyone, welcome back. So today is all about e-commerce security. So super interesting topic, lots of different applications, more specific solution driven than sort of general tamper evidence, I would say. So yeah, as I think everyone knows by now, we're working through the website, the industries, so homepage industries, and we're working through in order. And I think so far, it's building a really nice picture, and the feedback's been really good about how we're sort of educating on different subjects. But people are starting to be able to link the topics and the solutions
We're
together.
trying not to be repetitive as well, because obviously there's some solutions in this section that we've already covered in others,
Yeah.
but we're going to still go over them again
Yeah.
because they're in this particular scenario.
So, I mean, e-commerce is a huge term, isn't it? Like, it encompasses so much. But I mean, we're talking about, of course, the online shopping as a general a whole. So the statistics that we've got is that $212 billion is the worldwide cost every year in returns. I mean, I think when you're talking about billion, let alone over 100 of them.
It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, I was listening to one of those, I was listening to another podcast, and I was listening to them discussing the returns business, which is
Yeah, that
now
was a really good one,
actually, it
actually.
was good.
Yeah.
It's now actually grown into an industry of its own, because
Yeah, what's
returns
that?
is,
Evan Davis.
yeah,
What's
but bottom line,
the bottom line? Yeah,
it was
that was
really
really
good.
good,
And they were
yeah.
talking about returns and the cost of business and how it actually now works as a business.
Yeah.
And how they have outsourced it to warehouses that now have many different companies use their facility to do their
Yeah,
returns,
it's
because
a
it's such a
total
big job.
reverse
Yeah.
logistics focused
To the
business.
point where we're actually thinking, aren't we, of actually having a section on our website for this industry,
Yeah.
because it is such a big job.
Yeah, and I think I knew obviously about the returns process and about wardrobing and different
Yeah.
sort of things that we'll talk about today, but I didn't know that reverse logistics was its own
No.
sector. And then managing that process and how we can help save the reverse logistics
Yeah.
companies and the brands money is very
It's
interesting.
like the other end of the picking and packing team,
Yeah,
isn't it?
yeah.
It's amazing
It's
how
farm to
these.
fork and back again
Yes.
in a weird way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But with fast fashion particularly, it's an issue because they don't have the turnaround time to be
Yeah.
able to get the stock back on the shelves.
Yeah.
So it's a double cost. It's not only the return cost,
Yeah.
but it's the cost of what you've lost.
And then it's like, where can it go?
Yeah.
And what value can it provide in that new location? And
Exactly.
that's where, of course, like your TK Maxx and stuff like that comes in.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we manage that process? And also know that, okay, if I've now got a Ralph Lauren jumper that's going into the TK Maxx gold label,
Yeah.
how is that genuine or not? How do I know? How do I protect it? And that's what we're going to sort of talk about.
Absolutely. But it
Yeah.
is a huge business. So I think if you were looking at e-commerce as a sector to develop yourself within your business,
Yeah.
you've got the opportunity of the straightforward, we all think about it, Amazon,
Yeah.
and all the nice high street stores. But you've also got the other end as well, which
Yeah.
is now a business which is quite easy to find online.
Easy to find and a lot more untapped in the
Yeah.
sense that it's obviously massively growing
And have an issue.
and they've got a problem that needs solving,
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
they don't have the traditional issue, but they
Yeah.
have an issue. But we're going to cover that anyway. But
Yeah.
I do think it's fascinating how this market has grown, and I think exponentially.
Because I think e-commerce, of course, we all know that it's been growing exponentially, but the reverse logistics side is something that you kind of forget
Well,
about.
you're rubbish at returning
Yeah, I am.
things.
I just keep it and then give
You
it to
do.
charity shops. It's easier.
I, on
So,
the other hand, have got really good now because they come and collect it from outside.
oh,
Yeah.
see, they're spoiling you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, super interesting. Another sort of scary statistic that we've got is 10% of people admit to wardrobing every year. So, wardrobing is when you buy something, you go out to the pub or to work or whatever in like your new jumper, and then you go, oh, I don't really like it or I can't really afford it, and then send it back. So you've used it, but then send it back and get your refund. And obviously, at that point, it's probably damaged, got muck on, something's happened to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you think it's clean,
I
it's
assume
you
that they wouldn't
worn
give you
it.
the money back at that stage. They
No,
would
because they can't prove that you've worn it.
My understanding of wardrobing was where people just put something on, took a photograph of themselves
I
in it,
see, yeah.
and then put it on Instagram
No.
or just anywhere they wanted
And
to
they're
be.
really then levelling
Yeah,
it
I
up.
didn't actually realise people went out in the items of
Yeah, to
clothing.
work. Like, what?
No.
And just leave the label in.
But don't people take the mickey?
No, because, well, if 10% of people are doing it, then I mean, that's obviously quite a
Gosh.
lot. So, I mean, in an office, you've probably got two people that can, like, but you know, think it's funny. And it's not funny. It's
Gosh.
crazy.
Goodness.
So
well, we have a solution for that. Yes. Which we will tell you about.
And then we've got that there's 2.64 billion digital buyers active every year. So it's a huge
every day,
pool.
Every year.
Yeah, yeah. Probably a lot more than this now, actually. But it makes up over 30% of the world's population. So, I mean, it's just vast, isn't it?
It is. And as you say, it's going to get bigger as other countries around the world get more technologically aware.
Yeah.
There's going to be, I mean, the idea of the, is it BRIC? Brazil,
yeah,
and
Brazil, all, Russia, or, India, China, yeah.
Those countries.
Developing countries,
are
yeah.
Developing. They see development not just by technology, but a great deal of it is it by technology and infrastructure.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's difficult to remember the scale of how things happen because I was watching that programme, like I like these, Inside Costco, Inside Tesco, and the Tesco one was on the other night, and it's millions of sandwiches and meal deals are sold every day.
Yeah.
And you just think, okay, let alone Marksy's, Sainsbury's, everywhere else, millions of sandwiches every day.
And they never
let
have
alone
what
the
you
rest
want when you're there.
It's just it's just unbelievable, like the scale of how everything works and how many people there are.
Yeah.
It is really quite amazing. So then if you think about how many people are buying trainers, how many people are buying jeans, jumpers, t-shirts, and then if we've got like the activewear, we've got business wear, we've got each different sport.
Absolutely.
Like, it is so vast when you start to piece it together.
Yeah.
And I think you could really even go so focused, like I'm going to protect ski boots and make sure that we don't have any problem with counterfeit ski boots.
Yeah.
And you could either choose to keep
choose
it broad
hobby,
or
me,
yeah,
and focus
this
on
is my
that
new hobby. but Tamworth is not really like your go to ski destination. but yeah, I mean, it's absolutely vast. I think it's a really good one, really good industry to focus on. There is a huge need for tamper evidence.
There is.
And there's a huge need for cost savings due to the fact it's so competitive environment.
Yeah.
So anywhere we can reduce loss, reduce shrinkage, counterfeit.
And there's many opportunities to sell in because you've got the manufacturer of the goods who have got a vested interest in their goods being protected. But if they're selling, as you would say, billions, they're not so bothered, really, if a few get lost along the way.
Yeah.
So then you get to the store or the warehouse, then you get to the store. Once you've got to the either virtual store or the reality of the bricks store, those people have an interest as well.
Well, I was actually having this conversation the other day about with a customer, just sort of explaining, okay, the PlayStation 5 scandal, when the PlayStation 5s came out and they were being replaced with boxes of cereal. And we were saying, well, if PlayStation... If PlayStation had just put a tamper-evident label on the box, it wouldn't have been a problem. So the PlayStation sort of effect on this problem was a brand image problem.
Yes.
Because obviously it doesn't look very good that your customers aren't getting, and then they're going to be cross. And then potentially they'll look at an Xbox or something else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really in this gaming world, so I know it's a bit more complicated than that. But it doesn't look good on the brand.
No.
But then whose problem was it actually? Because if they've shipped 10 pallets, let's say 1,000 PlayStations to John Lewis, and John Lewis then have the problem when they're shipping, and obviously we know a lot of this problem came from Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, it impacts Amazon's bottom line.
Yeah.
They still have to pay PlayStation. If that delivery arrived in full, it's not PlayStation's problem. So PlayStation get a brand image problem, but Amazon have a cost problem.
Yes.
And the problem, the solutions, the tamper evidence, at different stages help the different parts of the problem.
Yes.
And that's the...
So we can just do, as we know, plain covert or overt, plain tamper evident protected, but you can have your brand on there.
Exactly.
So Amazon could own it and say Amazon protected, or John Lewis could own it, saying John Lewis could protect it. You know, there's many opportunities for people to take the high road and say, it's okay, guys, I'm going to make sure your stuff arrives.
Because here, if you wanted to have, like, if PlayStation, now they know this is a problem, you'd think we'll protect ourselves from it next time.
Yeah.
Put a label, the same PlayStation secured, on every single box. That's their bit. So they know from a brand perspective.
And also, when you receive your receipt online saying you've ordered this, this will be on it.
Yeah, yeah. Look out for this.
Yeah. If it's not on it, it's not from us.
Or if it hasn't got this unique message or this your number is, and that'll be printed on it.
Another customer engagement opportunity, which has got to be a good thing.
At that point, because this is all about brand image, let's integrate the QR code linking to where can we download the games or
absolutely.
The memberships. Or,
yes.
You know, it's a whole other world that then we can push into. So then when they arrive to John Lewis or Amazon, it's a case of how do we stop that? Well, we need security box tape at that point.
Mm.
So the PlayStation is already dealt with. Now we need to stop it going missing and being swapped for cornflakes.
Yes.
And it's a very different job.
Warehouses are very vulnerable, aren't they? Because I again,
it's Santa's grotto, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and they know what's in the boxes. It doesn't matter what you say.
No.
But the point is, I assumed that the warehouse was all for one company.
Yeah.
They're not.
No.
Warehouses are mixed, full of other people's stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of understanding how the world works.
And I think, like, I mean, I don't know anyone that works at a warehouse that has, like, these inside tracks, but I know of about 10 people that have these inside tracks and how they, like, have these stories about, oh, you can get these trainers and you can get this toothbrush.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. No. Like, just pay for it, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if so many people have got these sort of inside routes to get, you know, rejected stock or whatever they put it down to.
There was a dent on my fridge door, so now you can have this white good for, you know.
Yeah, and actually it's perfect.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is make sure that tamper evidence is touching the right bit of the chain, but then talking to whoever. So PlayStation, it's about the brand identity and brand image.
Yeah.
Whereas for John Lewis and Amazon in this case, it would all be about securing the boxes and stopping the theft.
Yes.
And it is a different, same solution,
so
but different application.
It's about the trust with them.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, we're looking at different points of the supply chain in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think you need to be focused in which bit you're approaching.
And what you're selling in.
Yeah, what their problem is, because they don't have all of the problem.
No, no.
And that's the same where this reverse logistics comes in, because they haven't got this, I need to secure my pallet to get from warehouse A to warehouse B, because that doesn't bother them.
Everything's coming in from everywhere to them.
Like total chaos.
Yes, yes.
So on the website, we have spoken before, but we're putting these ebooks up. So the ebook is already up and available on the website to download. And it's a quick go-to guide for sort of all you need to know. You've got testimonials, you've got customized products, like the different specs that you can choose, just to sort of trigger ideas, and why this industry is important, some statistics, just to really make you an expert in the quickest possible way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we'll run through the
box. Yeah, go for it.
So the first product that we've got in this e-commerce sector is the Tamper Shield. So I think it's just a fantastic solution. It's
selling well as well.
It is. It's really, really taking off. I mean, again, simple solution, doing a big job. And I think that's what Tamper Tech do.
I wouldn't want to wear a Tamper Shield wardrobing at work.
No, you look far too silly.
That would look
and that's
silly,
exactly what it stops. So you're not going to wear a jumper, a dress, t-shirt, shirt with a piece of film with a security label on saying... Yeah. Like, if broken, no return and stuff like this. You just look silly.
Yeah.
So the Tamper Shield is a shield on a roll of film, effectively, and then you put it through the arm or the leg or whatever of the garment, and then you secure the two ends together.
So you cut it to length, don't you? It doesn't come pre-cut.
Exactly,
so it comes on a roll.
It comes on a roll
and
because
you feed
then
it through.
You can choose, like, from item to item.
Yeah.
It takes about 30 seconds to apply.
Yeah.
So we've done some calculations based on the cost of a person and then the cost of the loss and the whole chain.
Yeah.
And it works out as a massive saving. And then you secure the ends together with a unique tamper-evident label that's numbered and it can be signed, etc., etc. And of course, it just completely stops wardrobing straight away.
Yeah. So, and if we haven't made sense with that description, there's a great video online for you to see.
Yeah, it's quite. You have to use a lot of words to explain it.
And we're really good at that.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be a link here. Is
that? Go on, Henry. Do that.
Oh, funny. So. Oh god! So if you're watching this on Spotify, you should go to YouTube. So I think that's the Tamper Shield in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And then
we can, just quickly though, we can do it in different colours. Obviously, we've done it on a white film with a blue label at this point in time because those were the colours that we were working with.
Yeah.
We've had customers that have bought them and they've gone for like bright colours, haven't
they? We've had like bright greens and purples, like really bold.
So they've gone for the total in your face.
Yeah.
However, we've recently done a quote for quite an exclusive, elegant range, which is all very much more black and white and elegant.
Yeah.
So there's choices.
Still that complete customisation.
Absolutely.
And again, still the point here is it needs to be unique. The messaging needs to be unique. That's where you get the security.
Yep.
If you can buy it online, it's not going to give you that complete protection. Arguably, it's no longer tamper evident security because if you can buy it anywhere, it can be copied. So you need to have that word unique in front of it to make sure that you're actually going to stop the problem.
Yeah.
So, because it's funny because we talk about one of our employees got a parcel the other day and it had some of our tape on from a customer. It had obviously been through their warehouse. And it was like a really cool full circle. But of course, it was just like, if you can buy that tape online, oh, can I just like reseal it? You can't buy that tape online, it's customized. But it just really demonstrates the point that you could hide it if you could get it online.
Yeah.
And it really was great to emphasize the value of customized tamper evidence.
Yes.
And of course, it's always fun to see your stuff in the real world.
Absolutely.
So I think we started with the tamper shield for clothing.
We did.
And then we thought, what do we do about shoes?
I had no idea how much trainers cost until I had kids.
And our trainers are cheap compared to most.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're not my problem anyway.
Yeah, that sounded like you still buy our trainers. I buy my own shoes. basically shoes are a massive problem in counterfeit. And again, it's another area of complete focus. So if you're going for a sport or if you're going for a type of garment or activewear, workwear, whatever, then shoes, then you've got trainers, you've got like heels and the whole world that comes with that. You've got men's smart shoes, women's. So I think being super focused is really good because that's where we can provide proper value.
Yeah.
And I think like the message of securing a trainer is different to the message of securing a Louis Vuitton heel or something.
Yeah.
So is that even a thing? I'm not really into heels. Probably.
Jimmy,
I don't
shoe.
Know.
Definitely,
yeah,
Jimmy
fine.
Shoe. So I can do the shoes. No problem with the shoes. LK Bennett.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this would be good. But the message that you're sending and sort of the design of the label and how we approach that will be different. And I think it's important that from the start we communicate in their language rather than a general.
We can build with their brand, can't we? I mean,
you've
got your active wear, then they want it to be, and it's, you know, robust and in your face, whereas the elegant, you know,
you probably want just something clear and...
Where was I the other day? Oh, was it, I don't even know how you say it, Hermes?
Hermes, maybe? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, however you say that brand. Nice looking
shoe. It will
shoe.
Pop up here.
Yeah. Those sandals were £1,000.
Yeah, and this is it.
I'm still recovering.
It's feral. But of course, on YouTube and TikTok and stuff, there's loads of these videos of these unboxing and the unboxing experience for the expensive shoes, trainers.
Which is beautiful.
It is amazing. And we just need to be part of that experience because another lot of the videos are demonstrating how these are the fake version of the trainers versus the real version.
Yeah.
And it's like really difficult to know.
Well, if you go back to that video that you watched with that young man, he actually videoed himself unboxing his trainers to see that they weren't his trainers.
Yeah.
And he was able to use that as proof to say, I haven't received my goods.
Yeah, and he tagged the brand in that. So again, okay, we've got a theft and counterfeit problem.
Yeah.
And now we've got a brand image problem because that video went viral. And I think it's safe to say that people are often surprised with what goes viral. So you never quite know.
No.
And a shoe unboxing video, you probably wouldn't think it would be fascinating. But actually, the way it was put together was fantastic anyway.
It was, but also resonated with a lot of people who have had things. Well, that wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I ordered.
Yeah, so I think having that, okay, yes, we're going to protect and stop the counterfeit and stop this theft problem, but the brand image element is really, really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think particularly on trainers, because that's an everyday purchase that a lot of people are spending that sort of money on.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the ranges from £100 to over thousands, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The label that we have got on the website is quite a simple solution.
Very, yeah.
And can be
it was very difficult to get to that.
I wasn't involved in that. But that label is robust enough to stick and be, let them try the trainers on in the home, walk around in them, see whether they fit, they're comfortable. But as soon as they leave the building and it gets scuffed, you're done.
Yeah, scuff the label or break the label. And I think it works.
It doesn't damage the shoe.
No, it doesn't. And it goes from like your smooth heel to your trainer or your tread on like more of a walking shoe.
Yeah.
So it's very versatile.
It is. Yeah. It is. One brand could buy one label.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think in this e-commerce sector, we've focused very much on the world of clothing and apparel.
Yeah.
But I think then, of course, it's not just that that's in in this sector. And so it doesn't matter what you're securing. We've got the paper tamper evident tape.
Yeah.
And whether it's going in a bag, like a paper shipping bag, a compostable shipping bag, or a box,
yeah,
then we've got the paper security
absolutely
tape to secure the box.
Fit in with a sustainable story then,
yeah,
can't we?
And again, that's for hand application or semi or fully automated lines. It works the same as the box tape you all know and love from Tampertech. So completely unique solutions, but again, integratable with, well, I say seamless, it's very easy.
Yeah.
And we're here to help at the end of the
day. Yeah, we're not bringing in any change, actually.
No.
There's no barriers for that.
No.
It's literally just taking one roll of tape out of the picture and putting another roll of tape
in. Yeah, and we're here as technical support anyway, so it's no problem.
I mean, if you need a separate, a specific width or a specific length,
So, and we're going from 27 millimetres wide up to, the widest one we've done so far is 200 millimetres wide. I'm not sure why you need a tape 200 millimetres wide. I still haven't quite worked that out.
It's big, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the most sort of common slash popular is the 30 mil for the pallet tape, and then you've got your 50 mil that everyone knows and loves, and then your 70 mil, and that's, generally your 70 mil or 75 mil wide tape is for where people have been burnt in the past from not having enough tack on the glue.
Right.
And it's just a more surface area equals more stick. That's the kind of their method. But of course, when we start to look at tamper evidence and we put a lot of glue on and it's a very, very sticky adhesive.
Yes.
So then we say, well, why don't you just try the 50 mil one?
We also do different voids, don't we? We do a reverse void, which can have a different effect as well.
Yeah, so it depends on like how easy you want that release to be. So some people like it really difficult to tear the board or the bag, and some people like it really easy so they get this super crisp message. I would choose that because it looks really nice.
I have to say, I think the paper particularly does that beautifully.
It's
and
really good.
Is that a full reverse void on the paper?
Most of the time, yeah. So, and again, that's all different colours. So my favourite is the bright green. It's a really nice colour. It's stunning, isn't it?
Yes.
But again, we would just integrate with the brand. So some wants to have the brown. The brown paper tape is great because it's just like craft tape.
Yeah.
So it's very little on the eye, but it's tamper evident. And again, completely customised. So what we say with paper is if you're doing sort of a within your country shipment, use the paper. If you know that it's going to be inside most of the time, paper's great. But generally, as you wouldn't use a paper bag if you're going to ship across the world and you don't know what's going to happen, we wouldn't recommend a paper tape on the basis that if you're going to leave it out in the pouring rain, a plastic, obviously, plastic will repel.
And if it's
going to
get handled by many people as well. Because I mean, I get deliveries, obviously I get deliveries, and often because I'm not at home, they're put in a plastic bag, although they've been in paper inside. So I feel like,
There's pros and cons, and I think that's the importance of understanding the parcel journey and offering the customer a unique solution for what they need.
Absolutely.
And when they know that it's easy, if they've got a load of goods that they know is going to be going to Australia from the UK, for example, then we'll put the plastic one on the line. And if we know that they're all going, you know, to Devon, then we'll put the paper one on.
Yeah.
Or even within Europe, we're going to use the paper one. It's very, very strong.
Yes, yes.
But it's just important to be aware of the bigger picture, I think. Yeah.
And nice to have choice.
Yes, always. So, the last sort of part of it is about returns fraud, which obviously we touched on at the beginning. And I think with the Bottom Line podcast recently talking about it, the topic is a lot bigger than I definitely thought it
was.
And I think I always thought that the problem was at the front end. So, like, we've got wardrobing, or if we've got, like, if we order a phone or something, and then we pretend we send it back, but we keep it. And this is, like, the front end of the problem. There's a whole other world going on at the other side.
Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. And so many companies are now setting up to do this.
Yeah.
And they're working for, you know, they're working for companies like Marks & Spencer's. They're working for companies like Zara and like H&M.
Because then they can completely specialise, can't they?
Yeah. Because it's the positive stuff that, therefore, they're manufacturing the goods, they're getting them to the warehouse, they're doing the online sales, they've shipped the goods out. There are ways of returning your goods. You can take them to the store. You can take them to the post office and return them to their zone.
Yeah.
So you've got opportunities to return things. If they return into store, they go on a different journey.
Yeah, and it's kind of more manageable because generally they would already have that jumper. They could hang it back up.
So they're very, and it's a quicker opportunity for them to get, as you say, back out on the shop floor.
Yeah.
But if they're going to go through the other journey where they're going to get slowed down. I mean, there was one chap talking about, he had a company set up that sells things for less than £5.
Yes, yeah.
There's no value in him having things back.
No, it was just cheap. It's better just to give it to charity.
Literally, yeah. You know, if it doesn't work for you, give it to somebody because there's literally no point.
And I think obviously that's where we get like your TK Maxx's that come in because it's not worth it for the brand because they can't resell it. And I think if you're in TK Maxx, you're not expecting faulty stuff.
No.
But if they can't quite tell if that's a damaged item or a worn item, they can't put it back on the shelf. No. Like, there is so many.
If it's out of season.
Well, this is another thing.
I mean, we're not seasonal.
No.
But some people are.
Yeah. The whole fast fashion thing, isn't it? And it hasn't gone, let's stop fast fashion, let's have slow or medium.
No.
It's gone, let's have sustainable fast fashion.
Yes.
And it's just like pass the problem down the chain.
Yeah.
So where we help with that is securing those garments. Okay, we know it's the genuine product. We've got that. But it's still got its shield on. So this is also fine. But then if we're in TK Maxx, this is a major point where a lot of people go to TK Maxx and buy what they think are the biggest discounts, see what they can sell on, and then return them. And it's just cost. It's just all cost for them.
There's
the
many
company.
Ways for the returns companies to make money as well. Basically, if you end up with a lot of fabric, you can sell that on to other companies, so there's all sorts of opportunities along the way.
So
I was looking online the other day at a brand, and one of the things they offered me in the basket was a thrift bag.
Oh, right.
Well, they would send me a bag at no charge for me to fill up with stuff that I don't want anymore, to be sent to their returns department. Just to join in the process, but it would be a marked bag that they would then know that was rags or recyclable clothing or stuff that they could then...
It's like old stuff.
Yeah.
That's
so it's another route to market for them.
Yeah.
But it means that I don't have rubbish in my wardrobe,
which
I do have. And they got it and it was being recirculated.
It's good that.
But there's a lot of companies now, I mean, obviously there's a lot of people need a lot of clothing around the world or the rest of it. And these companies are definitely, the fast fashion are literally saying, send us stuff you're not wearing, we will circulate it.
Yeah.
We have the route to market for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good. That's very
responsible. It really is. Yeah. And so these solutions and integrating the tamper evidence through these processes means that they're not getting nothing in the return. They're getting the item to then go and do the good with.
Yeah.
And either keep their profits or go and help, you know, kids or families that don't have what they need.
Yeah.
So it's a much bigger picture.
It is.
Really good. Yeah. It's really good. So I think that concludes our...
Okay.
It concludes our recommended products.
So we don't need palette tape on this one then?
No. Kind of if you like. I'm sure there's an application. But yeah, that's sort of our main focus areas.
Four main products.
Yeah. So thanks for listening and we'll see you soon.
Cheers.